This week's newsletter looks at an analysis of how block propagation times may affect miner revenue and describes a new approach for resolving protocols where multiple part is share funds. Also included are our regular sections describing recent changes to services and client software and summarizing recent merges to popular Bitcoin infrastructure software. News, modeling stale rates by propagation, delay and mining centralization. Antoine Poinsot posted to Delving Bitcoin about modeling stale block rates and how block propagation time affects a miner's revenue as a function of its hash rate. He set up a base case scenario in which all miners act realistically, using a default Bitcoin core node. If they receive a new block, they would immediately start mining on top of it and publish it. This would lead to revenue proportional to their share of the hash rate, given propagation time is zero. In his model with uniform block propagation, he outlined two situations in which a block goes stale. First, another miner found a block before this miner did. All other miners received the competing miner's block first and started mining on top of it. Any of these miners can then find a second block based on the received block. Second, another miner finds a block after this miner did. It immediately starts mining on top of it, and the following block is also found by the same miner. Poinsot points out that, between these situations, it is more likely for a block to become stale in the first situation. This suggests that miners may care more about hearing others' blocks faster than they care about publishing their own. He also suggests that the probability of situation 2 increases significantly with miner centralization. While in both situations the probability increases as miner hash rate increases, Poinsot wanted to compute by how much. To do this, he created the following two models, where H is the share of network hash rate, S is the number of seconds the rest of the network found a competing block before it did, and H is the set of hash rates on the network representing its distribution, model for situation 1, model for situation 2. He went on to show graphs of probabilities that a miner's block goes stale as a function of propagation times, given the set distribution of hash rate. The graphs show how larger miners gain significantly more the longer the propagation time is. For example, a mining operation with 5 EH per second can expect a revenue of $91 million. If blocks took 10 seconds to propagate, the revenue would be increased by $100,000. Keep in mind that $91 million is revenue and not profit, so the increased revenue of $100,000 would contribute to a larger factor in terms of the miner's net profit. Below the charts, he provides the methodology for generating the charts and a link to his simulation, which corroborates the results of the model used to generate the graphs. Private key handover for collaborative closure. Ximenes CPXJ posted to Delving Bitcoin about private key handover, an optimization that protocols can implement when funds, previously owned by two parties, need to be refunded to a single entity. This enhancement requires Taproot and MooSig2 support to work in the most efficient way. An example of such a protocol would be an HDLC, where one party pays the other if the primage is revealed, creating a refunding transaction that needs to be signed by both parties. Private key handover would allow an entity to simply hand over an ephemeral private key to the other after the primage has been revealed, thus giving the receiver complete and unilateral access to the funds. The steps to achieve a private key handover are, first, when setting up an HDLC, Alice and Bob each exchange an ephemer and a permanent public key. Second, the keypath spend branch of the HDLC Taproot output is computed as the MooSig2 of Alice and Bob's ephemer public keys. At the end of the protocol operations, Bob gives the primage to Alice. In return, Alice hands over the temporary private key to him. Bob can then calculate the shared private key for the MooSig2 sum, giving him full control of the funds. This optimization has specific benefits. First, if there is a sudden increase in on-chain fees, Bob can replace the transaction with a higher fee version without needing the other party's help. This is especially helpful for developers, because they do not have to build replace by fee support into a simple proof of concept. Second, the receiver can combine the transaction that claims the funds with any other operation. Private key handover only works for protocols that require all remaining funds to go to a single recipient. Therefore, methods like splicing or cooperative closure of lightning channels do not benefit from this. Changes to services and client software. In this monthly feature, we highlight interesting updates to Bitcoin wallets and services. Arcade launches. Arcade is an ARC protocol implementation. It also includes multiple programming language SDK, a wallet, a BTC Pay server plugin, and other features. Mempool monitoring mobile application. The Mempool Android application provides various metrics and alerts about the Bitcoin network. It sources data from a self-hosted Mempool server, web-based policy and Miniscript IDE. Miniscript Studio provides an interface for interacting with Miniscript and the policy language. A blog post describes the features and the source is available. Phoenix Wallet adds Taproot channels. Phoenix Wallet added support for Taproot channels. It also offers a migration workflow for existing channels and multi-wallet features. Nunchuck 2.0 launches. Nunchuck 2.0 supports wallet configurations using Multisig, Timelocks, and Miniscript. It also includes degrading Multisig features. LN Gossip traffic analysis tool announced. Gossip Observer collects Lightning Network gossip messages from multiple nodes and provides summary metrics. The results may inform a Minisketch-like set reconciliation protocol for Lightning. A delving Bitcoin topic includes discussion about the approach. Notable code and documentation changes. Notable recent changes in Bitcoin Core, Core Lightning, Eclair, LDK, LND, Libsect 2, 150, 6K1, Hardware Wallet Interface HWI, Rust Bitcoin, BTC Pay Server, BDK, Bitcoin Improvement Proposals, BIPs, Lightning Bolts, Lightning Blips, Bitcoin Inquisition, and Binanas. Bitcoin Core 30, 3,745 ensures that blocks submitted by an external stratum V2 client via the new mining interprocess communication, IPT submit solution, interface C newsletter. 325 have their witness commitment revalidated. Previously, Bitcoin Core only checked for this during the original template construction, which allowed a block with an invalid or missing witness commitment to be accepted as the best chain tip. Core Lightning 8,537 sets the max parts limit C newsletter. 370. 9 on XPay to 6 when first trying to pay a non-publicly reachable node using MPP. This conforms to the reception limit of 6 HTLCs on Phonix-based nodes for on-the-fly funding, see newsletter 320.3, a type of GRD channel. If routing fails under that cap, XPay removes the limit and retries. Core Lightning 8,608 introduces node-level biases to Ascreen, see newsletter 316, alongside existing channel biases. A new Ascreen bias node RPC command is added to favor or disfavor all outgoing or incoming channels of a specified node. A timestamp field is added to biases so that they expire after a certain period. First, Core Lightning hash 8646 updates the reconnection logic for spliced channels. It aligns that logic with the proposed specification changes in bolts hash 1160 and bolts hash 1289. Specifically, it enhances the channel re-established TILV, letting peers reliably synchronize splice state and communicate exactly what needs to be retransmitted. This update is a breaking change for splice channels, so both sides must upgrade at the same time to avoid disruptions. See newsletter hash 374 for a similar change in LDK. Second, Core Lightning hash 8569 adds experimental support for GRD channels. This follows the specification in BLIP 52 LSPS2 and is available in the LSP-Trusts-Client mode without MPP support. The feature is gated behind the experimental LSPS client and experimental LSPS2 service options, marking the first step toward full support for GRD channels. Third, Core Lightning hash 8558 adds a list network events RPC command. This command displays the history of peer connections, disconnections, failures, and ping latencies. It also introduces an auto-clean network event, Sage config option, default 30 days, to control how long network event logs are kept. First, LDK hash 4126 introduces receive auth key-based authentication verification on blinded payment paths, replacing the older per hop H, max slash non-C scheme. See newsletter 335. Second, this builds on LDK hash 3917, which added receive auth key for blinded message paths. Reducing the per hop data shrinks the payload, and paves the way for dummy payment hops in a future pull request, similar to the dummy message hops. See newsletter 370. Third, LDK hash 4208 updates its weight estimation to consistently assume 72 byte DR encoded signatures, instead of using 72 in some places and 73 in others. 73 byte signatures are non-standard, and LDK never produces them. See newsletter 379 for a related change in Eclair. LND 9430-2 adds a new global upfront chat, an address configuration option, which specifies a default Bitcoin address for cooperative channel closures, unless overridden when opening or accepting a specific channel. This builds on the upfront shutdown feature specified in Bold 2. See newsletter 76 for previous coverage on LND implementation. Bolts 1280-4 updates Bolt 11 to clarify that when an N field is present in an invoice, the signature must be in normalized lower S form, and when it is absent, public key recovery may accept either high S and low S signatures. See newsletters 370-1 and 370-3 for recent LDK and Eclair changes that implement this behavior. Asterisk Bolts 1040-4 specifies the optional attributable failures feature, which adds attribution data to failure messages so that hops commit to the messages they send. If a node corrupts a failure message, the sender can identify and penalize the node later. For more details on the mechanism and the LDK and Eclair implementations, see newsletters 220-4, 340-9, and 356. Want more? For more discussion about the topics mentioned in this newsletter, join us for the weekly Bitcoin Optech recap on Riverside FM at 16:30 UTC on November 25. The discussion is also recorded and will be available from our podcast's page.